Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bofa Basra will be beginning from Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph, toward the top. We notice at the end of the second line from the top a geometric form we term the volcano marking. It's part of our use of geometric forms to indicate series. This started on the previous Omed Kuf Lamed Beis Omed Beis, where we started a series of cases involving a shchiv meira, a person deathly ill, that's dividing his nechosim amongst his children and gives something to his wife. And we were looking into what's the story with regard to her ability to collect her ksuba as well. The ksuba being the financial security agreement that one enters into when marrying his spouse. The Gemara at the top, second line from the top, Hahu depalginu lenichse liitse ulevone. Through a will, he divides his property to his children and his wife. Itse, his wife, and bene, his children. Shier chad dikla. He left a singular tree that was not delineated, wasn't specified to whom it will be. Sovar Ravino Lememar. The Sovar word has been dashed, underlined, for the purpose of emphasizing this as a first stage in thought. So Ravino thought, Sovar Ravino Lememar, less law, Elocha Diklo. As far as the balance in terms of the value of her ksuba is concerned, she received a certain amount of property already that did not equal the total value of her ksuba. Ravina is of the opinion that as far as the balance toward full payment of her ksuba, she would have rights to that singular tree alone. Amar le Rav Yemar le Ravina. E less law, if you're to tell me that she has no rights to her ksuba from the portion assigned to his sons, chad dikla nami lesla, she has no right to that singular tree either. And that's not true. We know that she has a right to the tree. Ela migu denochta ledikla, since she is able to literally descend upon the tree, meaning take the tree, nochta nami lekulhu nichsi. She has a right to claim all the rest of the property, even that which was assigned to his sons, toward payment of her ksuba. Let us take a look at the Rashbam that's been noted with a dashed underline and an asterisk in the middle of the line. A few lines down from here. Umigu denochta adekel, nochta nami achelek habonim. Since she is able to collect from that singular tree that was not clearly assigned, she can collect from the property assigned to his sons. The fact that she remained silent and did not protest, that's because the tree was left for her. Why should I issue any protest right now until the Bezdin evaluates the tree, Vatrafenu, and I'll collect it, Vahadar Ayer Alabonim, and then I'll issue my protest concerning their receipt of property, the Etrof Mehem Hamosar, and then I'll collect the balance toward my ksuba payment from them. Delo hav yeshtiko dido mechila. This is a point, a theme that's been recurring. Her silence is not tantamount to forfeiting. Elohecha de mechalek kol hanechosim velo shavik lo midi. When can we say, when can we suggest that her silence is tantamount to a forfeit? That's when a man divides out all of his property and leaves nothing more for her. And that's not the case over here. He did not divide out all his property. He left that tree. We notice a slash mark in the Gemara. This indicates that the ensuing Gemara will be of a new nature. Before we continue the Gemara text, we take advantage of the topic heading in the outside margin entitled No Say. Dinoi shel Rav Huna. Shchiv meira shekosav kol nechosav le'acher. A person, deathly ill, who assigned all his property to some outsider. Royin. We evaluate. Im ro'i li'yorshoi. Note lon mishum yerusha. If that outsider is someone who happens to be fit or in the line of inheritance, so he'll take it as a yerusha. The im lav note lon mishum matona. If not, he'll receive it as a gift. It might be important for us in presenting this introduction that when we term a writing of the nechosim to an acher, we initially refer to him as an outsider, but really that is the subject of our subsequent analysis. Who is that acher? Is the acher someone in the line of inheritance and not a mere outsider? Or, in fact, is that person a true outsider? Turning to the Gemara text, Amar Rav Huna. We've underlined Rav Huna so as to draw his name to our attention when we continue in the reading a little later. Rav Huna says, Shchiv meira shekosav kol nechosav li'acher. He wrote all his property, assigned all his property to someone else, and it's explained by the Rashbam that he did it in a stam fashion, in a general fashion. He did not specify whether this assignment was as a gift or as a Yerusha. All we see is an assignment of property. There are different suggested general expressions that might be used. Whatever the case is, it's a type of expression that on the face of it you cannot see what was intended. For example, the Rashbam has an example, Nechosai Leploni, my property to so-and-so. We continue in the Gemara, Royin, we evaluate, Im Roi Liorshoi, Notlon Mishum Yerusha. If the person being assigned the property is in the line of inheritance himself. For example, a son amongst sons. He's assigning all of his property to one son amongst other sons, but that son is a person who's fit to inherit. V'im lav, notlon mishum matona. If he's not in the line of inheritance, so that party will receive it as a gift. At this point, Rav Nachman enters the picture. He addresses Rav Huna. We've used a long marking indicating the length of Rav Nachman's discussion, and that long marking is found in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam. There is an encircled, abbreviated Resh Nun, Rav Nachman, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of Rav Nachman's speech. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman turns to Rav Huna and says, Ganva genuvi lo malach. Literally, why are you involved with theft? More accurately, we would say, why are you guilty of plagiarizing? That will be explained. Isvira loch k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. If you hold that the halacha goes like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, namely, Rabbi Yochanan Broka is of the opinion that if a person singled out a son among sons and said, I want to give you my property as Yerusha, to one of the sons, then the fee Rav Yochanan Broka, that works. So if that be the case, if you, Rav Huna, hold like Rav Yochanan Broka, you should say thusly, Halacha k'Rav Yochanan Broka. the halacha is like him, the ha shmeitzech who Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka who the also, because your teaching seems to be like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, because you taught that if the person who is being assigned the property is in the line of inheritance, so he does receive it as a Yerusha. Rav Nachman continues, Dilma ki ha ko'amris. Maybe as follows is what you were saying. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, we will find the Rashban helpful. The Rashban in the wide line says, Dilma ki ha amris. Kol ze omar le Rav Nachman. The Rashban is sensitive to structure by pointing out that this phrase, Dilma ki ha, is a continuation of Rav Nachman's speech, and hence justifying our use of the long marking. The Rashbam continues, Shemo ato loy lekach niskavanto lomar dvorecho bestam. Could be that you did not intend simply to make an apparent statement, ulahashmienu k'Rav Yochanan, namely, and to teach me halacha like Rav Yochanan, that's Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Elo uvda hochi have v'stam. Rather, some incident came. Some incident came your way. Kinem eforsh v'azil, as is explained by the Gemara. The ikur dvorecha bosa lahashmienu chiluk bein netilo mishum matono lenetilo mishum yerusha. And your intent, Rav Huna, was to point out a difference between receipt of property as a gift versus receipt of property as an inheritance. Kinem eforsh v'azil, as will be explained. The agav urchach miha shamino desviruloch k'Rav Yochanan. And by the way, in your presentation, we see that you hold like Rav Yochanan. That's Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Umiyu ikur shita zu shetafasta lo lekach bosa. But the main purpose of what you were describing is not for the purpose of informing us that we rule like him, like Rav Yochanan Broka. Otherwise, you should have said straight out, we paskin like, we rule like Rav Yochanan Broka. And since you didn't say it that way, you obviously had some different agenda. So, turning back to the Gemara, bear in mind, we're continuing with Rav Nachman's observation. Dilma, ki ha ko'amris, maybe as follows you said, Dehahu dehavi koshochiv, there was a person about to die. The Omrule and bystanders asked the sickly individual, Nichose Leman, Dilma Leplanyo? Your property, who do you want to assign it to? Maybe to so and so? The Omrulehu and the deathly ill individual said to the bystanders, Ella Leman, well, to whom else? This response of the deathly ill individual, the Shchimera, by saying, El Leman, this was the kavana of Rav Huna's opening statement of Shchimera Shekosav Kol Nechosav. It was really, even though the translation doesn't suggest that way, that was the intent of Rav Huna. It was a discussion between a Shchimera and those standing around him, and the Shchimera responding, well, who else is the property to go to? The Amris Lon Allah, and you, Rav Huna, told us concerning that case, that give and take, Im Roy Liorsho, if that so-and-so that the Shchimera was referring to was a person in the line of inheritance, no, don't Mishum Yerusha, he would receive it as an inheritance. The Im Lav, if that so-and-so was not in the line of inheritance, no, don't Mishum Matona, so that so-and-so would take it as a gift. So maybe that was the case. Omar Le, Rav Huna says, in Hachi Ko'amina. That, in fact, is what took place. In other words, I wasn't coming to rule that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, but rather, I was responding to a story like we just described, where the people standing around the Shemera asked, what do you want? Do you want it to go to so-and-so? And the fellow responded, the Shemera said, well, who else, to whom else is it going to go? Lemai hilchasa. The Gemara at this point asks, like the Rashbam already told us it would, what legal bearing is there in knowing whether it's to be received as a as an inheritance versus being received as a gift? In other words, what difference does it make? Before we go further, let us note the appearance of the geometric form and what its role is. In the outside margin, we have the nosei, hemshech, meaning continuation of the above topic, mivneh, and the structural note. We have triangle. We have a triangle feature, nisyonos lahasbir mahu achiluk yesh bein hamakabel mishum yerusha. What these triangles represent attempts to explain what's the difference between receiving property as inheritance, lemakabel mishum matana, versus receipt as a gift. Shehizkir Rav Huna, that Rav Huna had mentioned. So let us turn back to the Gemara. Sovar Rav Ado Bar Ava. Notice the dashed underline of Sovar. That's to bring out that this is a first stage, an attempt to explain. So Rav Ado Bar Ava thought to say Kamei de Rava Lemeimar. Point one, im roi liyarsho, if the receiver in that story that was mentioned above with the shchiv meira assigning his property, if that receiver was in the line of inheritance, almanosoi nizoinis minichosav, the widow of the giver of the shchiv meira would have a right to draw her maintenance, her mezoinos, from his, the heir's, properties. The imlav, if the receiver is a stranger, ein almanoso nizonis minichosav, then the almana would not have a right to draw from those properties. Amarle Rava. Rava is totally upset by this analysis. Migra gora. Does she lose out? Does she become of less strength if the receiver is an outsider? Hashta b'yerusha d'oraisa, amris amanoso nizaynis minichosav. Mind you, in a case where someone has a claim to the properties from a Torah standpoint, namely, if the individual was a roi v'yorsho, that means he has a Torah right to those properties, and we agree that the widow is able to collect her mazonas, her maintenance from those properties, b'matana d'rabbanan lo kol shekein. A matana d'rabbanan, fortunately the Rashbam explains this. This is a reference to the matna shchiv meira. A matna shchiv meira, the gift given by a shchiv meira, is a gift given without a formal kinyan. If the receiver is receiving a matna shchiv meira, which is an allowance that the rabbanan make for property transfer to take place verbally, that's an allowance we make in the case of a shchiv meira, a person deathly ill, and the logic being we don't want him to become upset and die faster. So we say, we assure him that his oral gift will be binding. All that fine and good, he nevertheless, it should be realized nevertheless that it's a derabbanan type of gift. So as we said, if it's so that the almona, the widow, has a right to collect from a receiver who received property with a Torah strength behind him, all the more so should she be able to collect her maintenance funds from someone who receives property on a rabbinic level, on a mere rabbinic level. Ela Omar Rava. Notice the triangle, meaning we're part of the series of attempts to explain the difference between Yerusha and Matana, and we've also featured Ela Omar with a dashed underline to serve as a contrast between the dashed underline before, where Rav Ado was bringing in his attempted explanation. Ela Omar Rava, Kedesholach Rav Acha Bar Rav Avia. The explanation will be as per Rav Acha Bar Rav Avia's presentation. Before we read on in the Gemara, let us glance down the lower part of the page, the Rashbam, Kedesholach Rav Acha, She'im Omar Hai Shchiv Meira, the El Oleman. Well, to whom else should it go? when the bystanders asked him, who do you want it, would you like it to go to so-and-so? And he said, well, to whom else? The Acharav Lebloni. And the Shchimera said, and after him, I want it to go to so-and-so. Ro'in, we evaluate. Im hoya rishon ro'i liorsho. If the first one mentioned by the Shchimera was a ro'i liorsho, fit to receive through inheritance, note lo, he takes the property, mishum yerusha, v'eng l'sheni achrov klum. The second fellow mentioned by the Shchemira, when he said, the achrov leploni will in fact not receive. The kevan de'aso yoresh, v'zocha bedin Torah, since the first one was made into an heir, meaning, if he was in the line of inheritance and assigned the property, being accentuated as an heir, if you will, and as a result of that, receives the property through Torah strength. Ki komar su the achrov leploni, by this shchimera continuing his remark, and I want after him. In other words, when the first person, the one in the line of inheritance, expires, dies, it should go to so and so. Have a masna amashik osuv batero. He's in effect making a condition against the Torah's intent. The Eino Yocholakor Torah's Yerusha Me'oiso Shirash Kvar. He, the Shchemer, cannot undo a process of inheritance that was started by assigning it after the first one to some outsider, to someone else. V'gam afilu im piresh ani morishcha amenas she'itol hai sheni acharecha. Even if the Shchimera were to say something as explicit as this, I am bequeathing the property unto you on condition that after you, it goes to this other party. And his action of bequeathing it unto the first one stands, and the condition is void, the condition that Mr. Two should receive it. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Elo Omar Rova, Kiddushalach Rav Acha Bar Rav Avya. In order to appreciate the significance of the difference between Yerusha and Matana, we will do so by the following. L'divrei Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Nechosai Loch V'acharecha Leploni. Rav Yochanan ben Broka, using his approach in the following case, where the Shchemira said, I want my property to go to so-and-so. And after you, I want it to go to Ploni, to someone else. Im hoya rishon roi liyorsho, if the first one was in the line of inheritance, for example, he was one son amongst other sons, and according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, that singular son will acquire the property. Ein l'sheni b'mokom rishon klum, the second person that was mentioned by the Shchemira will have no rights. She'ein ze loshen matana lo loshen yerusha, because the loshen of nechosai loch, if the first party was in the line of inheritance, is viewed as yerusha. The yerusha ein lo hefsik, and inheritance doesn't have an end to it. In other words, it creates a chain extending into the future. Namely, future heirs are the ones entitled to it, and not this second person mentioned by the Shchemira. Omar le Rav l'Rav Nachman v'ha afsika. You just said that Yerusha ain lo hefsik, but this Shchemira made a condition. He said, I'm giving it to the first one on condition that the second person receives it from the first one. Well, we respond, Rav Nachman responds, who savar yesh lo hefsik? He, the Shchemira, thought that it has an end to it, namely that the Yerusha that he is assigning will end with that first receiver. V'rachmona omar ein lo hefsik. But the Torah says, wrong, that it does not have a hefsik, it doesn't end. The Rashbam at the bottom, Rachmona omar ein lo hefsik, and this Shchemira, as we've mentioned already several times, is this Shchemira is making a condition against the Torah's intent. Maisiv, Atanai Botel. The Hochi Hilchasa Kirishakar of Acha, the Chazina Uvda Besamach Kavasei, and the Rashbam foreshadows the upcoming Gemara by telling us that Halacha goes like Rav Acha, because the Gemara will present an incident like him. Hahu di Omar Lei Lechavrei, and here is the incident the Rashbam just made mention of. There was a fellow that said to his friend, Nechosai Loch V'acharecha Leploni, I want my property to go to you, and afterwards to so-and-so. Verishan Royli Yoshahavi, and the first one, the fellow that he was speaking to, was a person in the line of inheritance. Shachiv Rishon. And then, as time went on, that first receiver died. Also, Sheni Kotova. The second person that the Shchiv Mera had mentioned, namely the Acharecha Leploni, he came along saying, I want that property. Sovar, Rav Ilish Kameh. Notice again the markings, the dashed underline under the Sovar, and the next line we have Omarle, like we treated the Gemara previously. There's an attempt and then a response. Sovar Rav Ilish Kameh to Rav Lameimar Sheni Nami Shokil. Rav Ilish thought to say that the second party is entitled to receive. The Rashbam explains that the first one received it insofar as while he's alive. After that, it should go to the second fellow. Amale Rava says back to Rav Ilish, Dayone de Chatzatzta Hachidaini. Dayonim Chatzatzta refers to Pshoras. Pshoras are compromises. Compromising is oftentimes a fine attribute, but judges that enter compromise at the very outset is an indication, generally speaking, of their ignorance of the law, that they can't take a stand, so they go for the compromise. Hence the term here is used, Dayone de Chatzatzta, as a reference to ignorant judges rule thusly. Lav Hainu de Sholach Rav Acha bar Rav Avya. Is this case not like Rav Acha explained? Namely, that one, if the first one is a Roy Liorsho, the first one is in the line of inheritance, the second fellow doesn't receive anything. So what you wanted to rule, Rav Ilish, that the second one should be entitled to receive, is wrong. Ichsif, Rav Ilish, was embarrassed. What was the reason for his embarrassment? So the Rashbam explains that here Rava caught me about to make a mistake. And Rava could very well think of me the following, that if I, Rava, was not here, he, meaning I, Rav Ilish, would have ruled erroneously. And in fact, all of my rulings are that I do, not in his presence, are erroneous. So Rav Ilish was embarrassed because of Rava, thinking that Rava will think little of Rav Ilish. However, that's not the case. Kori Alei, Rava referred to Rav Ilish the following pasuk: Ani Hashem Ba'ito Achishena. Namely, that when tzaddikim need salvation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends salvation their way. So too, you, Rav Ilish, I know, never make mistakes, because I was never sent to save you from a mistake up till now. It must be that now is the only mistake that you were about to make, and before you came to the actual ruling, I came to save you from the error. We now start a Mishnah which introduces a new take on the issue of property distribution. Hakoisev es nechosov l'achirim, v'hiniach es bonov. Person assigned his property to others, cutting out his sons. In other words, his sons not receiving. Ma she'osa osui ela ein ruach hachomim noichemenu. The father had a right to do what he did, but the Chachamim, the sages, are not in approval of such behavior. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is going to make a comment. What Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's stance is with reference to the Tanakhama will be the opening question of the Gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Im lo hoyu bonov noagim kashura, zochor latov. He says, Rav Shimon Gamliel claims that if the man's sons were not behaving properly, then his cutting them out is praiseworthy. What does the Tanakhama have to say about that? About sons that are wayward, not behaving properly. That leads us to the topic that's featured on the outside margin, the nosei, the topic heading. Ha'avoras nachlo mibonim shelo noagim kashura. The redirection of property away from sons that are not properly behaved. Ibayaloho, the Gemara asks, Mi pligi rabbonon olei de Reb Shimon Gamliel olo. Do the Chachamim, meaning the first opinion of the Mishnah, disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel? Or not? Maybe they're in agreement. We encounter a new geometric form, the diamond. This form indicates, as all geometric forms do in the marking system, a series or something of a repetitious nature. If you see one over here, scan down the page and see if you can spot the next one. And you probably do. Number two, toward the bottom. These are explained in the outside margin under the topic explanation entitled Mivneh. The diamond is featured there. Nisyonos legalos im horabon chokim al Rishonim Gamliel b'mishnah. These are attempts to discover whether the Chachamim disagree with the Rishonim Gamliel. There's a double underline featured on the page, which is also one of our series markings. Notice it's going to be under the expression Shelo Hoya Noihe Kashura. It appears here, and it will appear in the source that appears on the bottom of the Omid. So, in turning back to the Gemara, Toshma, we see a frame, but a rather unusual one. Those who are return customers to the marking system, Gemara Markings website, know that a frame indicates a Tanaic source. The use of a dashed frame is rather uncommon. We offer an explanation in the inside margin, Ta'am lemizgeres amekuvkav. The reason for the dashed frame, the information contained, the incident contained in this framed section comes from a period of time that was of a Tanaic point in history. However, it's not brought in the Gemara as a source per se. We turn back to the Gemara. Toshma. The Yosef ben Yoezer Hoyolo ben Shelo Hoyanoye Kashura, the great authority rabbinic figure, Rav Yosef ben Yoezer, had a son that was not behaving properly. In contemporary terminology, maybe he may have been one of those that are termed, he went off the path. It's hard to say what he was doing, but suffice it to say, he's recorded as Lo Hoyanoye Kashura. Have Le Elisa de Dinri. Yosef ben Yoezer had a room full of coins. Elisa, generally speaking, is literally an attic. For our purpose, it means a room full of coins or a lot of money. Kom Akdisha. He, Yosef ben Yoezer, dedicated the money to the Beis HaMikdash. The Hakadosha, the dedication, would thereby, in effect, cut out the sun. Ozil Nosiv Bas Godil Klili Deyanai Malka. His son went and married the daughter of the individual in charge of taking care of the king's crowns. That's Godel Klili. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, he is a person that's Misakin Kisrei Dianai. According to the Rashbam, he's someone that's in charge of preparing wreaths for the king. These are atorot, wreaths that are characteristic of, as a dress, a characteristic dress in the time of the Mishnah. So the son of Yosef ben Eliezer went and married the daughter of the person in charge of that activity, Olida de Visu. His wife, the son of Yosef ben Eliezer, had a son through this woman he married. Zovin lo binisa, as a result of her bearing a child, of giving birth, he went and bought her a fish. So in preparing the fish, kara, they tore open the fish, take out the insides, ashkach bo margalisa, and they found a precious item, a margalisa, possibly a pearl, but something of great value. Omro le, his wife, said, lo timte lamalko, don't bring this precious item to the king to sell it to the palace for the purpose of preparing the crowns and taking care of those matters, because if you transfer it to them and expect payment from them, they will give you less than its real value. The shakli lo minoch, they will take it from you bedomi klili, cheap. In other words, they won't give you its full value. Rather, what you should do is zil amte legabi gizbori, bring the margalisa to the people in charge of the temple funds, the gizborim, velo tishaimo at, you don't say a word about its value. Because if you suggest its value, that will lock it in. And there's a rule, the amiroso le gavoa kemesiroso le hedyo. It's pointed out that she was afraid that he would suggest a value that's less than its real value. And she said, let them, the gizborim, make the evaluation. You remain quiet, because otherwise, as we just said, that will, your statement, your comment would lock it in. The rule being that one's verbal remarks made in the context of gavoa, of the Beis HaMikdash, is tantamount to that which in normal commerce would be a kinyan. That's kemesirasu lehedya. That would be binding. Ela l'shaimua inhu. Rather, let them evaluate it. Amte, he brought the margalisa to the gizbor of the Mikdash. Shamua betlesri iliasi ilisa the dinri. They assigned a value of 13 roomfuls of coins. A vast amount of value they attached to this margalisa. Amri le, they, the gizborim, told him, sheva ika shis leka. As far as the current money available in the Beis HaMikdash, we only have 7 roomfuls, 7 Elisa the Dinri, but the balance, we don't even have that in our possession right now. We haven't collected it yet. Omar Lahu, so the son of Yosef ben Yoezer, said to the Gizborim, Sheva Havuli. So give me what you have. Shis, the 6. In other words, 7 that you have, give me. The balance, the 6 that you would owe me, Hare Hein Mugdoshos Lashamayim, I dedicate that to you, to the Beis HaMikdash. Omdu v'kosfu, the Gizborim recorded the following. Yosef ben Yoezer hichnis achas, as we saw at the beginning of this framed source, the father, Yosef ben Yoezer, he brought in one roomful of coins. Ubeno hichnis sheish. And his son brought in six. What does that mean, that his son brought in six? His son said that the balance that you don't have, I am dedicating to you. So it's as if he brought in six. V'ikah d'amri, another version of how they recorded, and here we have to be very, very sensitive to language difference. The second version is, Yosef ben Yoezer hichnis achas, ubeno hotzi sheva. And his son cleaned them out of seven. He, in fact, cleaned them out completely because all they had was seven and he took whatever they had. So we have two versions. We have a Roman numeral 1 and a Roman numeral 2 that we've put in the Gemara. We've also highlighted the Ikar d'Amri with our standard squiggle underline mark indicating a second possibility. The Gemara observes, Midiko Amri Hichnis, from the fact that the Gizborim used the Loshon Hichnis with regard to the son, it said he was Machnis Sheish, Mechlau de Shapir Ovad. It seems that he did something proper. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Hichnis Echad, the Rashbam in the third of the widest lines under the Gemara. Hichnis Echad, Chado Ilisa de Dinri, Ubeno Sheyasovor Shelo Yinho Kashura, and the son of Yosef ben Yezer, who he thought was not behaving properly, Hikdish Sheish Aliyos. Shezchus Oviv, Shehikdish Achas, Vishur Shelo Yobeno, Nohe Kashura, in the merit of his father making a temple dedication, because his son was off the path, Goram livno sheuchshar lahatish sheish. This caused his son to straighten out. In the merit of the father making a temple dedication, the son straightened out. And we see that the son straightened out in the sense that the way they recorded the son's behavior, calling him also one who brought in funds to the temple. Umehacha daikinu lekamon, and from this the Gemara that we recently read infers Michlau de Shapir Ovad Yosef ben Yoezer, that the father initially cutting him out did a good thing. Alma lo pligi rabbanon ale deha omdu v'kosvu kotoni dehainu kol chachmei ador. We see that all of the chachamim of that generation agreed with this idea of if a son is off the path, then he ought to be cut out. But let us maybe limit our discussion to he was cut out like Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer did. Turning back to the Gemara, we try to conclude from the Lishna Kama, from the first Lashon, that the use of the expression Hichnis on the part of the Chachomim indicates that Michlau de Shapir Ovad, that which Yosef ben Yoezer cut out his son was a good thing, and hence the Rabbonon are not arguing with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah that said, he said, if the son is not kashura, he's not behaving properly, he should be cut out. The Gemara continues, Adarabo, midiko amri, when you look at the second lashon, the ikar d'amri, the use of the word was hotzi, that the son cleaned out the temple funds. Michlau, the lav shapir ovad. That the whole incident came about as a result of the father cutting him out. The son went ahead and cleaned out the temple funds. Maybe he shouldn't have been cut out in the first place. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Iko di'amri, liginai, ubeno hotzi sheva. Ginai means negative. That the son cleaned out the temple of seven roomfuls of money. Shelo hoyolo lekabel kol mamon hahekdish lisroke mikol v'kol. If he was if he was decent, he shouldn't have cleaned out the Beis Hamikdash from everything. Should have left two, even one room of money. Ahu gilo daito shim hoyu kol hashloshesrei alios be'ekdish. He shows us his mindset by his cleaning out them out of what they had. They had the Beis Hamikdash had 13 roomfuls. Hayonotel es kulon. He would have taken all of them. At this point in the Gemara, we're left in a bit of a cloud. We try to conclude from the first Lashon that a father cutting out the son from the story of Yosef and Yozer was a good thing because we saw good things result. On the other hand, we saw the second Lashon that would indicate that the father having cut out the son resulted in negative things, so the father shouldn't cut out his son. The Gemara therefore says, Elo mehal lekol lemashma mino. From here, from this discussion, we cannot come to any conclusion. The Gemara asks, my havi Allah, so what is the halacha? How should we conclude this matter? Toshma, Yomar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda. Shmuel addressing his student Rav Yehuda, he says, Shinana. Shinana means sharp one or wise one, a complimentary expression. He says he recommends lo teheve be avuri achsanta. You should not be present when an estate is being redirected. V'afilu mibra bisha lebra tova. The kosheke mibra lebarta. Don't be present when a father is redirecting his estate, even if it be from a bra bisha, a child that's of a negative nature. Bisha means bad. From a bad son to a good son. And certainly, if property is being redirected from a son to a daughter. In other words, the Torah has a certain perception of how inheritance is to take place. If a father is redirecting his inheritance, that's a negative thing. What do we see from this? We see clearly that from Shmuel's ruling that the Rabbanan would disagree with cutting out a child from inheritance even though the child is not behaving properly. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.